The commission, Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission meeting to order, today being Monday, June 22nd at 11:45-ish a.m. We'll start with our legal statement. The chair and general manager of the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission and our chief legal counsel have determined under Minnesota Statute 13D.021 that in-person meetings of the Municipal Utilities Commission are not practical or prudent due to the COVID-19 health pandemic and the peacetime emergency declared by Governor Walz pursuant to Minnesota Statute Chapter 12, and that our meetings, including this meeting, shall therefore be conducted by telephone or other electronics pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.021 until such time as it is no longer impractical or imprudent for this commission to resume in-person meetings. All right, with that, does anybody have any changes to our agenda today?
Nope.
If not, we'll move into the consent agenda. It consists of our minutes from the June 8th meeting, as well as our bill payments in the amount of, where's our total on that one? About $2.7 million this time. Not looking at the right number.
Yep, correct.
Mr. Heron, is there a couple items on the bill payments that you want to run through?
In addition to what's highlighted this month, we have the first one is with the League of Cities right here. It's our annual, $23,000. That's an annual payment for property casualty. And towards the end, we have a payment to Wink. That's our second payment for environmental studies over at Wink. This invoice here, Kevin, what do we got? A couple, maybe $7,000-$10,000 left yet for the remainder of the study work on the final report. Yeah, so.
That's correct, yeah.
Yep. Other than that, I would open it up to any questions on the listing, if there is some.
Thank you, Mr. Heron. Commissioners, any questions on the bill payments?
Nope.
All right. If none, I would look for a resolution for approval.
So moved.
Second.
We have a resolution from Commissioner Maboub and a second from Commissioner DeBleek. Any further questions? Hearing none, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Maboub?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Thank you.
That resolution carries. Thank you, everyone. Next on our agenda, we've got an update from the June 16th Labor Committee meeting minutes. Commissioner Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you stated, we met on Tuesday, June 16th at 12 o'clock via Zoom meeting teleconference. And we had a majority of our discussion was around the organizational structure of the utilities and specifically the two director jobs that we have now. The one is open with the director of finance, and staff recommended that we eliminate that position and rename it and recategorize it to a supervisor position. So it'll be more of a working position as a supervisor, and then that position will report to directly to the general manager as well. So that was talked about. We also talked about the director of operations position, which is still open and has been open since General Manager Heron was promoted out of that position into his current position. There was discussion about whether we should eliminate that director job as well. However, the committee did not recommend doing that at this time and leave that open. And the reasoning for leaving it open would be to reevaluate that position in the future as we may reorganize or rename the job duties for that position in the future. So there is a proposed organizational structure that is in your iPads under the Labor Committee agenda. If you go back to June 16th and pull that up, it's in a PDF. After that discussion, we moved on to General Manager's Heron's mid-year goals and results to date. He went through each one of those and just gave us an update, and everything is going well so far this year. It was noted that since 2012 that the utility staff itself has had a reduction of 28 employees, along with all the reorganization and action items that we've been taking since then. So it's a significant reduction in employees, and also with labor costs, and thus that's why we looked at the reorganization as it's proposed. So those were the minutes summarized, and I submit those for approval. Motion for approval.
We have a motion on the planning committee minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
And Commissioner Lammer has seconded that motion. Couple questions I have. Commissioner Weber, if you've got answers, or General Manager Heron, but looking at some of the information that was provided in the June 16th packet there, looking at that organization chart. So with the recommended changes that's on that chart, is that whole set of changes moving forward, or is that a partial, or how does that stand then?
Commissioner, what were you?
Well, we do recommend that we adopt the proposed organizational chart as it is in that June 16th packet.
Okay.
So basically all the supervisor positions would report directly to John.
All right, so it is restructuring the organization. It's just that position of director of operations or whatever is going to happen there, that's kind of on hold at this point. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
We left it in the organizational chart as you see. So basically for transparency, if we do move forward with the director of operations or rename and retitle and change job duties, that position would be shown in the organizational chart.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Weber, if I could maybe add to that a little bit. Depending on when you updated your iPads, the organizational chart outcome or the change to the organizational chart from the outcome of the Labor Committee meeting may or may not be current on your iPads.
Okay, so we need to make sure that we make that update.
If your organizational chart includes a director of ops position on the proposed, then you have the current chart up.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, any other questions on the meeting or the the minutes here?
This is Zach. I have a quick question, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Mahbub, go ahead.
Yes, this is a really great accomplishment, for really efficient and shutting down up to 28 staff members. And I was wondering, is this something only for the power plant, or this is additionally, over the years that the 28, staffs has been removed? Is it related to the power plant and the heat,
District heat.
Yeah, heat, district heat.
General Manager Heron, maybe I could direct that your way.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner Mabu, excellent question. Did you want to take that, Janelle, or do you want me to answer that question? Otherwise, well, if you want to, go ahead.
Okay, well, either way, well, John, maybe we can tag team this.
Okay.
Commissioner Mabu, to answer your question, we have been downsizing over the years. As each position becomes vacant, we have been doing an analysis on it. And currently, I believe it'll be 6 that will be losing out of the power plant now. But over time, on the bottom of the organizational chart is the history of starting back in 2012 when we had 60 employees, and then we dropped down to 56. And at that time, it appears we had reduced our supervisory by 3 positions. Then in 20, each year that's dropping a little bit, then we had lost 4 out of our meter department when we restructured that and went to automated reading, meter reads, so we didn't need all the meter reads, readers or mechanics. So it's with each position. And so short answer is it's across the company. And every department's been impacted because of the reevaluations and working more efficiently.
Yeah. Due to the use of technology, equipment, efficiency, as Janelle said, every department is actually working with less staff today than they have prior to. So the reduction is not only power plant, it's in the office with power supply, it's reorganizing, it's the line department, the water department, the meter department. So every department is functioning different today than they were a number of years back.
Thank you very much. You guys did a great job of really kind of making more efficient, and hopefully it will continue that trend. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for the comments, Commissioner Mabu. As far as continuing that trend, I would say we're about as lean as we can get here for the most part for right now, unless our organization changes some more, but we're fairly lean here. We got a good solid staff. We got a productive staff. We have a staff that's always looking for ways to improve efficiencies. And until, you know, we have something major that would prompt a reduction in staff, I would say we're very close to where we're going to be for a while.
Thank you.
Good question and comments. I would presume that there's a role of joining with Missouri River that's assisted in being able to reduce some of that office staff as well.
Correct. Yep. It's multiple changes.
Sure. Any additional questions from other commissioners?
This is Carol. Not an additional question, just a comment. I think that's a good idea, leaving that director of operations position open, whether we hire it as that or as another supervisory position. That way we don't have to go back on something.
Good thoughts. And I also agree with the recommendation to come back to that discussion down the road. Mm-hmm. I think that there's further discussion to be had there. So look forward to that happening as that time warrants it. So any additional discussion?
I can add that we do plan, the Labor Committee does plan to revisit the Director of Operations, both for the position itself and for succession planning.
Thank you. That sounds good. One final time, any additional discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take a role in the motion.
Certainly. Commissioner Weber.
Aye.
DeBleek.
Aye.
Magnuson.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Mattern.
Aye.
Lahmer.
Aye.
And Mabu.
Aye.
Thank you.
That motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Next on our agenda, we have an update on the 2020 energy acquisition adjustment. And I think I'll turn this one over to Ms. Marotsky.
Ms. Marotsky,
she with us?
Not online with us.
All right,
today.
General Manager Heron, I'll have you direct us on this.
Okay, thank you. What we have up on our screen is an update on our EAA. Twice a year, we provide an update to the commission on where we are at with the EAA and how many months out of the year that we have implemented the EAA. In 2019, as a data point, we include X number of dollars in our rate studies as purchase power costs. And those numbers are then utilized as far as implementing the EAA. So in a rate study, power supply is identified as X. This year, X is $56. So for 2020, in a rate study, $56 were used as our power supply costs. So if power supply costs go over $56 a megawatt, an EAA is implemented. The reason that we have power supply, our EAA, as part of our power supply costs is because of the volatility in the markets. Every utility has a form of a power cost adjustment. They don't all call it an EAA, they're called different things, but they all have one. Look at ours today, it looks like we're all under. The line on top, the brown line, is our base, which is $56. Then you can see our monthly and our rolling. Now, with that said, just to give you somewhat of an idea, as we go into our next 3 months, which is our highest price power, in December, January, and February, we pay $16 for our demand costs. Now we get into March, April, May, which is where we're at now for power. We go through April, we're down at $10.50 for demand cost per kW. And June, July, and August are our highest power supply cost months. So we're looking at $21 through June, July, and August. So we will continue to monitor that. Could we potentially have an EAA in one of those months? Possible. But we always look at the rolling average, and that's why the gray bars are up on the screen, as that's a rolling average. So we might spike over that in June, but we'll continue to watch that to see if our year average, year end, will end up at our $56. So we continue to watch that. When we completed our rate study, we had asked Dave Berg if he could identify by the month. He was somewhat reluctant to identify our power supply cost by the month. It makes it easier to trend, but in our next rate study, we will have our power supply costs identified in our rate study by the month, so that we at staff level do not need to track and monitor it on a rolling average basis to determine on any given month if we should or should not apply our EAA. So with that said, you can see we're well below, but we're coming into our highest price month. So we'll keep the commission posted on whether or not we implemented the EAA on any given month as we go forward here.
Thank you, Mr. Heron. Can you remind me, in the past, I think we've, I guess, underutilized this option available to us. And if I'm recalling, I think the time that I've been on the commission, it had only been implemented for a short period, relatively recently, and had not been used much before that. Does that sound correct?
Yes, Chair Mattern, that is correct. Thank you for asking that question. Back in 2016, actually, November of 2016, the commission had authorized an EAA to recoup roughly $1.3 million deficit in our power supply costs. We were down in end of 15, coming into 16, we were down about $2 million. That came up in the winter months, as we're talking about, because power supply is less costly. However, once we hit our summer months, we started declining again. And based on projections, we were going to continue to decline and hover somewhere around $2 million deficit. So back November 2014, 2016, the commission directed staff to apply the EA and make up that roughly $1.3 million. The commission approved at 4 mils. And 0.4 cents to be added to our customers' bills. We ran that 4 mils all the way through the end of 2017, at which time we had our deficit made up. And since that point in time, we have not needed to utilize the EAA. The rates have been built into our study based on what we knew at the time of rates. And so far we've been pretty much on target. So, as we go forward, it's a tool that we will use, and our city charter is set up for the utility to use that mechanism to collect our power supply that's over and above what's included in our rates. So as we go forward, the commission has directed staff to watch that, monitor it, and use it more on a monthly basis versus letting a deficit accumulate for the utilities. So thank you for the question, Commissioner Mattern.
We appreciate you keeping an eye on that and monitoring that, as that tool is available for our use as we need it. Appreciate the report. Commissioners, any questions on that report? All right. Hearing none, we'll move on to the next agenda item. And looking at just kind of figuring out where the commission is at in regards to doing these Zoom meetings. And I'd like to maybe invoke our attorney again on this one, Mr. Scott, just in terms of legal requirements, legal recommendations, just kind of where your thought is on what the governor is allowing and suggesting, and if if there's any input on what we can or can't or should or should not do as it pertains to these Zoom meetings.
Certainly, Mr. Chair and Commission, thank you. And I believe this topic had come up and was considered by the Commission two meetings ago. And actually, nothing has changed substantively in the governor's executive orders since your discussion two meetings ago. The upshot is it's still legal for the Commission, if it so chooses, to resume meeting in person. However, the order encourages local governments, including the Utilities Commission, to conduct remote meetings whenever possible. And the way that works is there's a general prohibition on gatherings indoors of more than 10 people. The local government meetings, such as commission meetings, are exempted from that strict requirement. So it is, again, like I said, legal for the commission to meet in person if it felt it necessary to do so. But the last statement included in the governor's order is that remote meetings are strongly encouraged whenever possible as permitted by the state or local authority. And you have adequate legal authority to continue meeting remotely under both the state and local emergency declarations.
Thank you for that input. That's helpful. Commissioners, I'd like to go around the table just to get everyone's input. I guess in summary, as we heard, the meetings over Zoom are still legal, although it's also legal to return, though it is encouraged that we continue via this path. So I'm curious as to where everybody's at in their own personal preference. And if I could start maybe Commissioner Maboub, I'd like your thoughts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think as long as we can do the Zoom, it's been more efficient and more productive on my side. So I have no objection if we meet in person, but I would prefer Zoom meeting if possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Lahmer, your thoughts? Carol must still be muted, or is she not on the line here? She's working on it. Still muted, Carol.
Can you unmute her, Mike?
There we go. There we go.
You had sign language going on there for a while.
You know, I'm in favor of having in-person meetings, but I won't argue about having the Zoom meetings either. So I was just wondering, what about the customer service area? What's happening there? Because I know the last time our decision was kind of based on what's happening in general with the utilities and customers.
Thank you, Commissioner Lemur. We open up lobby. Maybe if I can lean on Janelle for that, more detail what we got going on out there. But we did open the lobby up, and the lobby, I wouldn't say is overly busy, but Janelle can better answer that. Did you want to answer that, Janelle, what kind of customer traffic the customer service staff is dealing with? Thank you.
Sure. I certainly can answer that. The lobby has been opened. We have footprints on the floor to keep social distancing for customers. It's gone in spurts. The first day we were opened, we did not advertise anything, and it was quite busy. And then after that, it kind of dropped off. So we are only running with one till open at a time, and they've been able to keep up just fine. So, but the traffic has been very minimal. I think people are still not out and about like they have been, but it's been going well.
Thank you, Janelle.
I appreciate that input. That's helpful. I think that was kind of the hope and the intent was we could kind of do a soft opening, and if people really needed to get in, they could, but hopefully it wouldn't be crowded. And so far it sounds like that's going well. Commissioner Lahmer, thank you for your comments. Commissioner Weber, your thoughts on this topic?
I'm fine with Zoom meetings continuing as is. I think they're actually more productive. I think more of us are speaking up. I don't know why that would be, but that's my general take on the Zoom meeting so far. I think conversation has been good. I'm glad that the lobby areas opened up. And if I could ask, I mean, footprints on the floor is one thing. Do we have sanitizing in place? Do we have barriers in place? That sort of thing as well.
I think I'm going to refer this to Kevin. Kevin set everything up out there in the lobby and got the signage up and everything. He can be clear on this.
I'm going to have to plead that I wasn't listening very hard to the question.
So the question from me on reopening the lobby was, Janelle had stated there was footprints on the floor as an indicator for social distancing. My question was, have we also added sanitizing, barriers, face mask? Are those required or not required? Just, you know, additional steps to for social distancing.
Yep, I'll try and take them in order there. We do have a hand sanitizer dispenser in the lobby, right at the first footprint station. So that's available to customers. We actually have our ballistic glass that is coming in really handy as our COVID barrier. Also, it protects staff and customers from each other. And then we also have signage on the doors as they come in, stating that the maximum number of people that we're allowing in the lobby, along with that masks are required. So far, I don't think that we've had any issue up there whatsoever with customers not playing along. So.
Okay, thank you for the update.
You're welcome.
That's all I have, Justin.
Thank you. Appreciate the comments there. Commissioner Magnuson, your thoughts on the Zoom meetings?
I would sure welcome getting back together in person and meeting, but I'm fine with continuing on with Zoom.
Thank you. And Commissioner DeBleek. Bruce, you're also muted.
Sorry about that.
There you are.
I'd say I'm comfortable with the Zoom, but, you know, in-person meeting, getting back together, I don't know how it would all go as far as social distancing and all that stuff at a meeting. We have to spread things out a little bit, but I'm still comfortable with Zoom.
Thank you. And Commissioner Erickson.
I guess I would echo kind of what everyone else is saying, that I'm fine with getting back together, but Zoom has been working well. I am curious what we would maybe expect getting back together. I mean, would we be required to wear masks? I get the separation, but I'm not a big mask fan of the mask, so if we move that route, I'd prefer to stay Zoom.
Thank you for your input. General Manager Heron and I have had some real brief discussions on this and kind of what that might sort of look like if we were to come back. So Mr. Heron, if you could maybe address that real quickly.
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner Matter, and then Commissioner Cole, Commissioner Erickson. Good question. What we would look at doing, we'd probably have the commissioners round table so we can maintain the distancing so you don't have to wear masks. Staff would sit on other tables within the auditorium, again, to maintain social distancing. And we typically don't have the general public attend, so we would have adequate room in our auditorium. We would also have sanitation or hand sanitizer at the door in the back or at the auditorium doors. When you come in, you'd be able to use hand sanitizer when you come in, come and go, is what we had talked about once we do come back here. So I don't know if Kevin has another dispenser already or not, but I know he has one ordered if it's not here yet. Or when the commission does come back and or once we start leaving more outside vendors, et cetera, into the building.
Thank you. I think we discussed, as you mentioned, John, that masks would not be required in the meeting, but that they would be preferred just kind of coming and going, or if there's any, you know, going to the bathroom or in the hallway, that would be preferred at that time.
Correct. If you move around the building, anybody that comes into our building is required to wear a mask yet. So if you start moving around the building, is Commissioner Mattern reference needing to go to the restroom or something like that, that yes, we would expect that you'd wear a mask to do that, just to protect yourself.
And then lastly, I know that there is currently extensive cleaning that continues to go on throughout the building. And just to make it clear, I believe that there would be additional kind of cleaning and wipe down or spray down after each meeting as well, just to make sure that the space is cleaned up.
Yeah, well, that would be correct, Commissioner Mattern.
Okay. Any final thoughts or additional input on this topic? I get the sense that you know, most of us are looking forward to getting back together as soon as we can, but for now, Zoom does appear to be working out and is probably the preferred method to continue, at least for the time being. We'll probably have to continue these discussions over time, but I think for now, the consensus seems to be we'll continue on with Zoom meetings as they do continue to work pretty good. Although nobody has to do the long run-on sentence that I have to at the beginning of each one, so it's working up my lung capacity. All right, we'll continue on with that. Thank you for the input from everyone.
That's it, Chair Mattern. When would you like staff to put it back on the agenda? Second meeting in July to discuss, unless there's a significant change from the governor's directive?
Yeah, we can toss it on there for brief discussion the end of July. And like I said, if there's significant change, that'll address it for us. But if not, we can just see how things are looking.
Okay, we'll put it back on the end of July, unless something changes from the governor's level.
All right, thank you. Next on the agenda, we have a Missouri River monthly meeting update from June. General Manager Herron.
Thank you, Chair Mattern. In your packet is the update. Due to the remote meeting, they do not have the videos like they had in the past, so I don't know if there's any questions regarding it. I was not able to attend this meeting, so I don't have a lot of details about it. But I did notice on here they talked about the clean energy standards. I have it highlighted again. And Missouri River has reduced its carbon intensity by 72% from 2005. So, and at the same time, energy sales have gone up 40%. So, significant reduction in its carbon footprint. So, as an agency, they're at 72% carbon-free power that they provide to the members. So, worth noting. So unless there's additional questions.
Thank you for the report there. Yeah, I agree with you, General Manager Herron. That last point is worth noting, the fact that there has been that much reduction in such a period of time when it comes to carbon. I know there's still a lot of folks that are kind of screaming against that. And sometimes I wonder if they realize how far we actually have come in that area. So it's good to see.
It's not just us, it's the industry as a whole. It's come along.
Right, absolutely.
5 to 7 years.
Thank you. Any questions on that report? All right, hearing none, we'll move into the District Heat monthly update. And actually this, I think, will be our last update other than a closing follow-up. We're down to the end here. General Manager Herron.
Yes, thank you, Chair Mattern. Yes, we are. A little over a week to go. 8 days. 8 days and we're there. We do have 63 customers on yet. Out of those 63, we have a number of them that are working on conversions. And as I stated previously, when we did our outreach here this spring here with those that we had left, so we made personal contacts with those. At that time, we were sitting at around 90 when we made personal contact. Everybody's well aware of it. Those that are left, a number of them said that they don't plan on having the conversion done until fall. So we expect that we will have a number of them left, but they're all well aware of it. Out of those 63 that we do have left as we speak today, four of them still have hot water heat. Out of those four, one is Wilmer Utilities down at our service center building, and the request for locates just came in today, so we can get gas in. And I know Kevin has Chapel Central on schedule to do the conversion. So whether we'll make it or not by July 1st remains to be seen. It's at our service center, minimal hot water. We do have a hot water heater there. It's on the electric side, so they do need some hot water. There is hot water down there. It'd be just a little less convenient. So moving forward with it, we're pleased to be where we are.
I tell you, it's been one heck of a journey with this whole process. And again, We commend and thank staff for all of the work that they have done and those that have stuck by us through this whole process. So it's going to be good to have it behind us. It's a kind of a bittersweet moment, I suppose, in some regards, but we appreciate all that has gone into this. Sounds like every customer that still remains on the system has been contacted and notified. They know what's happening. Mr. Heron, can you address, it sounds like we'll have some follow-up with those customers in July once this is fully shut down, just to kind of remove some of our equipment and wrap things up on that end as well?
Yes, we have talked about it. We do not officially have a plan in place, but at staff level, we had talked about what's the best approach with the remaining customers. And at this point in time, we are contemplating removing all our equipment once we hit July 1st at those customers' places that have not converted. And the reason for considering that would be so that those customers know that there's no hope that they're going to be able to heat their homes, businesses with district heat come this fall. So looking at that, and there's a high probability that that will take place here in July and August, the removal of heat.
Thank you. Any questions on the district heat report? All right, hearing none, we'll go into the general manager's report.
All right, thank you. The first one, planning committee meeting under that, we got update on commodity sales revenues and delayed CIP and O&M projects. Don't know if we'll do a full report, but we're looking at next meeting to provide somewhat of an update at where we are with our delinquents. So you can look for that at the next meeting, and we'll probably follow up with a planning committee meeting on a lot of details and actually where we're at. At this point in time, as of Thursday last week, we are still not able to move forward with pushing our collections. We cannot disconnect yet. So, and we continue to send disconnect notice or delinquent notices out with very little to any results from that. Most people know they don't have to pay, and we can't turn off. So that's a challenge that we have before us right now with collecting on some of our accounts. Employee recognition on Friday. Most of the commissioners have acknowledged Beth's email that she put out, and for the most part, everyone's attending. So appreciate that. And it's a special recognition that day for our power plant employees. For those that hung in there to the end here, we will recognize them. And special kudos will go out to them that day. With that said, Mayor Kelvin has also indicated that he would like to attend and will be attending. So I will call on Mayor Kelvin maybe to recognize staff, our power plant staff here as well. Other than that, I'll open it up to any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Heron. Any questions on that report? All right. And then, John, in terms of just kind of the COVID impact and delinquents and some of that, we'll be getting another report coming up perhaps next meeting or sometime in July anyway.
Yeah, hopefully we'll pull a high level together where we're at next meeting for the commission with our collections and what we can and can't do and what does that look like. Probably update the information that we provided to the commission here three meetings ago it would have been. And I don't like count meetings. If you count today's meeting, it would be three meetings ago we provided an update. So we'll probably update that information at the next meeting.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. And then it sounds like you mentioned most of the commissioners plan to attend the employee recognition lunch on Friday. I would encourage everyone to attend if they are able. It's an important event. It's always a good time each year. And this is certainly a remarkable year for our employees. So thanks staff for putting that together as well. Look forward to that. Any other business to come before the commission today? Hearing none, I would look for a motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for adjournment. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.